many articles, probably even books, maybe even encyclopedias, but most likely not, have been written about men going shopping. How humorously painful it is, ha ha, etc., postmortem e pluribus unum. This will probably be one of them, unless I can't finish it because I'm being asked to go shopping. Part 1. The History and Psychology of Shopping. Introduction. To truly understand shopping, you must strive to emulate the practices of the Tumac tribesmen of the deep Ecuadorian Amazon, who live along the rivers inhabited by the rare Bindi alligator, and have learned to coexist with them in beautiful, symbiotic symmetry. Mimicking the croaks and coos of the Bindi alligator's young, the Tumac coax their shy earth cousins, delicately drawing them out of their watery dens while soothingly stroking their iridescent, leathery skin, just before smashing their skulls with a club. So you, reluctant male shopper, must also learn that these same alligators make gorgeous handbags for middle-aged rich women with too much makeup and money. It is this delicate dance of death in fashion that you must learn to navigate, or face an eternal destiny of lost Saturday afternoons when the weather is perfect for golfing and Charlie gets to go because his wife is cool. But your wife has a 30% off coupon to TJ Maxx, and so your shoulders slouch ever so slightly as you stumble to the kitchen to pick up the keys to the minivan. To paraphrase Sun Tzu in The Art of War, if you know your enemies and know yourself, you will not be imperiled in 100 malls. If you do not know your enemies nor yourself, you will be curled up in a fetal ball under a silver-skinned mannequin in a Macy's hosiery section within an hour. That's why we are here. The Dawn of Shopping. Squirrel Blood and Yak Urine. At the advent of civilization, when early woman first smudged soot under her eyes to accent her immense overhanging brow, smeared her lips with squirrel blood, color Lady Danger red, and looked in a pond to see if her hair bone was straight and was also from the latest most fashionable animal, she would let out a grunt indicating she felt her butt was too big. Then she would head off to meet her girlfriends at the rock where men are not allowed, to drink the sacred fermented purple berry drink and complain about how grog by lame wheel thing for anniversary again. Her girlfriends would then remind her that grog was not all that, and her best friend, Shonga, would then suggest that she should reward herself for her suffering by buying a new acorn-studded badger pelt at that boulder that just opened up after last week's earthquake swallowed up the Neiman Marcus rock. So off they would trudge, their hairy knuckled hands grasping their credit barks, hurrying to be finished before their husbands got home from the mammoth kill. Thus the seeds of shopping were planted in the fertile soil of discontent and self-indulgence, to sprout into painful thorns of suffering for anyone with a Y chromosome. From there, it was only a matter of time before fashion was born, squealing and covered in fake rabbit fur, whispering that last year's little black beaver pelt was deemed to just not have the right tufts of manginess, as what Uga in the High Council was wearing, even though it was whispered she dyed her hair with yak urine, the hussy. Then it was trips to the tar pits, because only the tar pits had the specific hide of whatever saber-toothed rodent was in this year, and everyone knew the local pelt caves just didn't have the right brands. After a while, all the females would spend each weekend gathered at the Fashion Stone, straining to see what latest trends were chiseled on it, while the High Council that sat in the tall rock caves in really old York came out with the absolute latest designs, such as using marmot kidneys, hot springs mud, and bunny fuzz. I mean, how daring, wearing marmot kidneys in spring. And of course, next year everyone was wearing marmot kidneys, even Nganga next door, whom everyone knew was far too old for marmot kidneys. But she wore them anyway, embarrassing herself as she waited to pick her kids up from cave painting. So men, as surely as Adam could not avoid having his fig leaf picked out by Eve, you are destined to this same caveman-like existence. Rest assured, it is in your...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?